You're listening to Saturday Breakfast with Adrian Francis on ABC Radio Canberra.
Well, the bond between a child and their toys is so special, loving a stuffed toy to bits, literally. But when that toy starts to break under the years of hugs and comfort, it can really hurt. Luckily, there are solutions. And today, Victoria Pierce, the owner of Endangered Heritage, is going to be teaching Canberrans how to care for their stuffed toys to ensure that they last generations. She joins us. Yuma, good morning to you, Victoria.
Good morning.
Tell us about your first stuffed toy or toys.
Like a lot of children, I was given a childhood teddy at birth. And when I was about one at the Botanical Gardens, it got lost.
Oh, no.
And there was devastation. Apparently, I was inconsolable until a substitute same bear was gifted me. So my teddy is the same age as me, minus 1 year.
And how's it looking now, Victoria?
It's actually in pretty good shape. It's a Jack-o'-bear. It was one of the early Australian-made bears, and it's in pretty good shape, but a lot big bald spot around the nose from too many kisses.
I had a Paddington bear, or several, amongst many others. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the Jack-o'-bear. I'm not familiar. What did they look like? What were they wearing?
Jacka were an Adelaide company, and they had a range of different bears, including a panda bear, an orange bear, several coloured bears. They were reasonably soft and very plush for their day. Early before the Jacka bears, their bears were often filled with wood wool, sawdust, much firmer materials. The Jacka bear here in Australia was really, really squishy. And obviously very endearing for children as comfort.
Wow, I wonder if you can relate to what Victoria's talking about. Did you have a Jack-o'-bear or a panda? Maybe you had a Paddington bear like me on 0467 922 666. So what are some of the number one things that people get wrong when they're trying to care for these first toys over a lifetime, Victoria?
Neglect.
Plain and simple.
They've spent their life defending you against the monsters in the dark, and then for some reason we leave them in the dark out of sight. So insects can be a big issue for some of those early bears, especially as our houses are filled more and more with synthetic materials. The very early bears made of mohair and natural materials become even more of a focal point for insects that might get into our homes. Sometimes stuffed toys can be quite vulnerable to extensive light exposure. So leaving them on a shelf in full display can cause an awful lot of damage to some of the delicate materials that they can be made of. Again, fur or thin velvets. Sometimes the vinyl on the paws gets very, very brittle, splits and damages, or the fabrics that have coatings on them. So some of the early sort of faux leathers were used in children's toys, and they can be very vulnerable to light.
So what is your approach then to trying to turn this around, trying to salvage people's first soft items? And is there a point where they just can't be salvaged?
Well, so far I haven't had anything in my career that I haven't been able to salvage. So as a conservator, I think the most important thing is that we always attempt to do as little as possible and as much as is needed. And that means we... In conservation, we're not replacing original material. I'm incredibly careful not to do reconstructions on faces, but to really rebuild the original material and not introduce new materials. Even replacement eyes can be really damaging to the identity of the bear. And the last thing I want is to fix up a toy and then have the owner go, but that's not my bear anymore.
And not even recognise their beloved treasure. I'm thinking about my bears in boxes. They've been there for decades. They're covered in dust. I know that. I hate to think about the holes that they might be experiencing in their coats. So with all the dust, is one of the obvious things to hoover them or wash them?
Please don't wash original toys. Sometimes the feelings can be highly reactive to moisture as they've aged. Things like shoddy, which is the stuffing that's made of recycled threads and yarns, the kind of felt that you see in removalist blankets actually is shoddy. They can bleed all sorts of colours and things through to the original that can be impossible to remove.
This is Saturday Woodball Breakfast on ABC Radio Canberra.
Well, with water, splitting the very fragile outer fabrics holding the bear together. So brush vacuuming with a small detail brush is definitely a good way to go and to start. The other thing that I would also recommend is that get some professional advice before giving very old or vintage toys automatically to the next generation of baby. As sentimental as that toy or bear may be to you, it may not reach our safety standards anymore. The fabric that's holding the eyes in and whatnot may not be as strong, and if a baby starts sucking on a nose or an eye, they may have a choking hazard. So you've got to really think about the safety of old toys with children, because they can have bits break off of them. Polyurethane foam, once it gets very old, can also have a hazardous inhalation risk as it breaks down into very fine plastic components. So toys, as sentimental as they are, sometimes are not suitable to be passed on. The other thing is sometimes people store them with naphthalene and mothballs when they put them away in the cupboard. And that's a toxic hazard for babies. Naphthalene is highly toxic to small children. They're some of the key things to think about with stuffed toys and taking them out of storage. Handling, be very gentle with them. Don't wash them. They could tear apart. Just perhaps consider storing them with acid-free tissue and appropriate boxing. But when you put them away, if you're wanting to keep them as little treasures,
like a wedding dress, perhaps.
Yeah, much more akin to a wedding dress in terms of their storage than sort of shoved in the bottom of a box with a whole bunch of other heavyweights.
I really need to lift my game, Victoria. In your time of doing exactly this, there's a lot to it, bringing them back to life, those soft toys. What have been some of the most unusual or remarkable examples that you've come across in the Canberra region, Victoria?
Oh, I think one of the most significant toys would be a beautiful pair of felt donkeys that had been made by a lady. And she'd handmade all of the felt, handmade all of the materials that they had been made with, and saddles and baskets and each little vegetable and each little flower that went in the basket, the whole suite of assemblage was just unbelievably beautiful. I've had the privilege of working on some of the very, very early Steiff bears, which now to collectors are like the 1903 Steiff bear. I think the one I worked on went to the States and sold at auction for $100,000. So,
wow.
You know, some of that... Some people go, is it worth actually doing conservation on my old bear? Actually, it might well be. Some of the others that are really significant that I've worked on here in Australia, and I think this is really interesting, is that because we're a very migrant culture and we've had waves of migration through trauma, through war, through displacement, often families arrive here with nothing, but the child may be able to bring one comfort toy in tow. Mm. And that toy becomes the sort of iconic emblem of the motherland of where they've fled from. It may be in national costume, or it may have some other family story that's really significant. Mm. And a lot of children who arrived off boats, particularly children who were displaced from the UK and sent here to be safe from bombing and air raids, got off boats and were given toys on arrival from literally sort of chipboard composite molded compo wood molded arms and legs and things, so dolls made out of chipboard and then dressed. And so some of those objects have really strong and important family members, memories, and really more than just a kid's toy. They're really kind of iconic and tell a huge story about